When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Monday edition. Merely Bo, the great Z. How are you, buddy? How you living?
I'm good. Nice weekend.
It
lovely
was,
weekend.
Good.
Other than the weather becoming this nonsense, it's terrible.
Terrible, Kenny.
I know people have declared winter over. Not sadly.
I did. Sad. I thought.
Well, you're trying to will it, and I appreciate your efforts.
I know. I have a feeling like this could stick around a little bit. So
oh, it's going to. That's why you're going to leave.
My definition of my theory behind winning over winter over was snow. We will get more snow, but it will be gone. Like it'll drop and then it'll melt and that's it.
Yeah.
But it looks like we could be in for something here a little bit.
Yeah. Unfortunately. But it was a nice weekend. Had some good food. I made a shepherd's pie last night.
So how'd you do it?
I did.
Did you do like the full pie? The whole bit.
So I did, ground lamb.
Okay.
Some onion, obviously. So some onion, then in the ground lamb in there. I think salt, pepper, thyme, rosemary, and parsley. And then get some peas and some carrot in there.
Yeah.
A little flour, a little beef broth to make like the meat layer. And then we had mashed potatoes going, made those, and then you brush those on the top and then in the oven for a half hour at 400.
Was it in like a pie crust?
No, so it's the top layer is mashed potatoes.
Oh, so that's your pie.
That's the pie.
I guess.
Yeah, and then it's in like one of those glass casserole dishes. Let me tell you something. It was so good.
Yeah, I'm sure
it was, but cannot be good for you.
No,
there's nothing good about it.
No way.
I don't know that I've ever felt so full as I did last night.
Bit of a hearty meal.
It was a hearty meal.
That's what that is.
It was great, though. LD, though, he helped me out with some belly laughs. I mean, there were a few
I'm not kidding you. I think it's a top 10 episode ever. I'm ready. I watched it once. There were several times I was laughing so hard that I was crying. There should be a statue.
There should be a statue.
It was
for a pioneer.
The whole thing. I mean,
the dream scheme.
The dream scheme that
he's so good right now.
A few things we can't, but like he's going out. He's going out on the very.
He's not leaving.
He's throwing 99.
Exactly, and he feels like right now because he's going out that like he can say anything or have Leon say they can say anything.
Yeah,
and they are.
They are.
It's great.
It's amazing.
What a Funkhauser. When Freddie Funkhauser was pissed at him,
it's amazing.
I'm gonna roll over, and now I'm in charge. Which was I was dying.
Vaughn is just killing it.
Yeah.
He's so naturally funny. I also think my favorite parts are anytime like and Leon and Vince both do it where he naturally belly laughs for something they say.
Oh yeah. They
you can tell like it's not
and
a
he
wasn't
tickles
in the
Jeff.
Script.
He just gets Jeff going.
That was unbelievable.
What do you think of the notion that someone who pulls a flask out has a drinking problem?
I just thought it was so. It was just so great how he pulled it out. And then he goes, at one point he goes, you tried to ruin something that was elegant. I was doing something elegant. What do you call it? Swing juice?
Swing juice. A little swing juice.
Yeah. But I think on the golf course, I've seen that. Like some people will do like the little guys, you know, like the ones you get at the airport or whatever. But I've seen people have like a flask of like, here, get yourself a little taste of this. We'll make some John Daly's here on the course. Like I've seen that. I think it's different to do
at a club.
But even there, yeah, but I've. I've never seen anybody, like, while on the course, sip the flask.
I know. I've seen him pour it into something.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Incredible choice.
Yeah.
That
and he had, like, a nice
made.
Leather flask. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Well, so, and I'm of an age where a lot of my buddies, we're all of the same age, but I was where buddies of mine got, some, the ones who got married right out of.
That was like a
that
wedding
was a wedding
gift.
Gift. Like, they got married
or
right
like
out
a
of.
A groomsman's gift.
Groomsman's gift. Yeah, 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 yeah. Like,
yeah, y'all got
in our early 20s. Like, I got three or four of them where, like,
yeah,
I was
your
a groomsman,
it
was, like, my initials, yeah. Whatever. So I still have, like, three or four of them that I don't use.
I've never used a flask.
No. But yeah. At the same time, when I was watching him do it, I thought, that is, maybe I'll bring him out for the golf, little swing juice. Just have it ready. Little taste.
He's so good. The golf was good yesterday. The Players' Championship was actually fun to watch because 16, 17, and 18 are just beautiful holes. It's all grass. It was tight. Came down to a insane lip out from Wyndham Clark. I don't know if you watch it.
No,
oh,
I was.
Man, the putt was.
I had
90% in
lacrosse. So 90%. I did see a image of appeared like the top of the ball
was in the hole,
was out of the hole, and everything else
was
in.
Yeah, and that ball came out.
How did it?
Kind of turned around and came out back this way, like the way that it
oh,
came and went
speed,
down and came out like this. I mean, he thought it was good the whole way. He's about to fist pump. It was dead. It was.
Would that have been to win it or to tie it?
Forced the playoff with him and Scheffler.
Oh, jeez. And Scheffler shot like 64.
Scheffler's a beast. He needs more majors. I was just with a Mr. Rossi, and we were going through his resume. So something like in his last 50 starts, he's got 20 top threes, which is outrageous. But he only has one major at the Masters in 2022. That's it. He needs more majors. That's the only hole in his resume right now. But
he's young, though, right?
He's 27. He's led the tour in money 2 years in a row. He's been the rookie of the year. He's only been on tour 4 years. This is his fourth year on tour.
So he's 27. He's won
tour
just the one
on
Masters?
One Masters.
That's it.
And he's got 2 seconds in other majors.
Okay.
He needs a win. He needs the personal Grand Slam. And then you start talking about, okay, he might be the best of this group.
Who's in that group? Like, who else? Is that Spieth and Justin
Spieth,
Thomas and those guys?
Yeah. Koepka.
Koepka's the best of that group.
Right now, from majors, for sure.
Well, that's what you're judged.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the rest of the stuff is...
I feel like if you're dominant, if you win more times on tour every year than everybody else, that's...
But that's... I don't know.
But majors are what are remembered.
I think it's the majors. Yeah. I mean, no one's going to... The golf people will remember how you did in an individual year or whatever, but, like, the majors is what the... That's how you're going to be remembered.
Yeah, yeah.
What's Koepka got? 5?
I'll look it up.
He might have 6. He definitely won the U.S. and the U.S. Open and the PGA back-to-back.
And in the same.
And then has he won the Masters yet? He's won one since he's been on LIV.
Let's see, here we go.
Because he was the LIV guy that won.
All right.
I think he's got 5.
He has got 9 wins on the PGA Tour. So Spieth's got, Scheffler has 8 wins. And he's won the PGA 3 times. And he won the U.S. Open twice. He's never won the Masters or
so
the
Open. So 5 of them.
He won the PGA in 2018, 2019, and 2023. So he's the defending PGA champion.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. He's, yeah.
Yeah. He's your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was your weekend? No Vic
busy.
With the boys. Got a little attempt also. And
it's
I,
funny.
I
they're
I,
sneaking it in.
I stood him up on a Saturday despite.
Well, he's.
3,000 party invites.
He's a bit of a problem, young Bootsy.
He's not a problem. A
little bit. He just is hunting it. Like, if you turn your head, he's on it. He's trying to get up early before his brothers to play it. He will rush his dinner to try to play it. He will...
You gotta respect his dedication. He's got some love. He's competing.
Well, his dedication to pleasing himself is big. I mean, he's got that down. If that were an occupation, I guess in some ways it could.
It could be.
But yeah, he's pretty locked into it. So yeah, we had hoops, had some lacrosse, and then we had a athletic department fundraiser thing on Saturday night. So it was pretty jam packed.
Yeah,
pretty jam packed.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. But then Curb at the end of the night last night was pretty good. And then I watched the hoops, watched some of the basketball stuff. It was crazy what happened in the MAC championship game.
So I didn't see it once Gibbe was
did you
out.
See this? Did he see it? Who's he talking
once
to?
Once Gibbe's team was out, I was uninterested.
Who's he talking to that's so important?
I don't know.
Social media.
Gibbe.
Person, Lexi.
Gibbe.
Talking.
Did you watch the MAC final? Did you see how it happened?
Oh, I watched.
Were you watching it?
Oh yeah.
So it was on at the club we were at where they were doing the fundraiser, and there was a bunch of Akron alums who were in there.
So it was Akron,
they were Akron and Kent State.
And Kent State.
Yep.
And that's their big rivalry game. Kent Correct. State was the 8 seed. Got all the way through, knocked off Toledo, who was the one, knocked off you
great
guys.
Great crowd at the
awesome
at Rocket
great.
Mortgage. Everybody's into it.
So Kent State goes up one with 6 seconds left. They go up one. And the kid for Kent State has no point of reference on score or time.
Thinks they're
and
losing.
And so Akron inbounds the ball, and he fouls the kid
Wait,
with the ball.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
They
what
score.
Do you mean he has no frame of reference?
He's there's just a, not paying attention.
There's a thing up there that even says the diff.
I mean, he's devastated after he understands what he did, but he was out of his damn mind. They had been playing catch up, so they were the way. So they
but
go
you know
up
when
one
you
with
take
6
the
seconds.
Lead?
He didn't. They go up one with 6 seconds and he
go back
he hunts
in the
ball.
Timeout,
he hunts the point guard and he just it's not like the referees could ever ignore it. He was intentionally fouling him to stop the clock. So then the Akron kid, to his credit, goes down to the other end, hits both free throws. And then I thought Kent State's play at the buzzer was not much. They called a timeout to set that up. There wasn't much of that. It's a bad shot.
You knew Sullinger was going to have the ball, but that means there's someone else open.
Yeah.
Because there were three guys on Sullinger.
Yeah.
You're telling me that no one else on that team could do anything?
No. So they lose by one. Akron moves on.
It was
crazy.
Unreal.
Really sucked for the kid. But, I mean, it's his own issue. Like,
Chris Webber calling the timeouts.
Oh, it's right up there.
Yeah, but that, like, you might not know how many timeouts you have. You know when you've taken the lead in a basketball game.
I don't give Chris Webber a pass on that. Like, you're told in the timeout before the timeout. We've already got this many left.
Panic. That was bad.
It was panic.
But
it was panic.
This is bad on a whole nother level. Like, you would know from the crowd reaction you took the lead. You should know because you know the score in a game.
Yeah, I can't. My hunch is it got loud and he just lost his head. That's it. He just lost his head.
It was a great game back and forth. And then Akron went cold from the field and Kent made a run. And then Akron went up by like 6 or 7. And you were like, all right, well, this is what we expected. And then Kent comes roaring back. It was exactly what you would expect from an Akron-Kent game. And then that play happens, and everybody's just like, wait a minute. And what sucks is that tournament deserves better from a network TV host standpoint or a broadcast because it was not good.
It was CBS?
ESPN.
ESPN Saturday, but it was CBS Sports Network on Friday.
Correct.
The problem is that there are all these entities that are bidding on this stuff, and some of them aren't in the business of always doing basketball, and so you end up just getting – I mean, that could have been like an F team.
Well, and the problem is it's championship week. So these guys are just going from one market to another to do the conference championship games. So they don't know. They had a little bit of reference on the two teams playing, but they clearly – like. This is a rivalry. These two teams hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
their fan bases hate each other.
Like, there was no play into that. And that play happens, and it wasn't.
God, that's
I get everybody's
sucks.
Shocked, but like, you've got to really play it up in that moment. And they did not.
They did not, no.
All right, question. Had Kent State won as the 8 seed, they clinched the automatic berth to the big dance.
Yeah.
Would Akron still have made it?
No.
There was no room.
No.
There were five teams who would not have otherwise made the tournament who won conference tournaments.
Including one who fired their coach.
Yeah, Long Beach State, Dan Monson, who actually was the guy who built Gonzaga.
I was going to say the originator.
He was the originator. Then he went to Minnesota, and he's been at Long Beach State for a long time. They fired him, and then he won the conference tournament. So they let him finish coaching the year, which is usually you don't do that. But he's kind of a legend there. He's been there a long time. So they're going. But there were five teams that would not have gotten in, but won their, including NC State, but won their conference tournament and are now in. So five teams that were on the bubble in, out. So no one from, Mac was going to get one, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy. And that's their Super Bowl, right? You do that. That's it.
Just get into the dance.
Get to the dance. Yeah. Yeah, John Gross did a great job at Akron.
I'm sure you get all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah, they take care of you. I mean, you've been to an NCAA tournament, Gibby? I've been. You've been to,
yeah,
ever been?
Of
you've
course.
Been like you ever follow like how a team is treated? It's very well. Yeah. When I did it with the Buckeyes several times, like, you know, like you're staying in the best hotels. You're there for a long time. The meals are incredible. Like, it's a hell of a setup.
Yeah. And the practice days are like 45-minute practice.
Yeah. And they're all in the arena.
It's coach and two players.
Yeah.
And then
great.
You're free.
And then you're done.
What yeah, it's not like you have multiple things to do.
No, it's good.
What did
it's
this
really
poor
good.
Kid say afterwards?
I mean, he's devastated. You could tell. Like, he knew right away. At one point, he just had his head in his hands. He just go, what have I done? What did I do? But, yeah, tough.
It's just another chapter in the MAC championship because
yeah.
there have been some
always
wild
a good tournament.
Finishes over the years.
Yep.
That one was right up there.
It's one of those ones, like, if you haven't gone, even if you have no ties, like, I don't have any ties to any of these schools, but, like, I still find myself watching it because the competition's usually pretty great. We had a lot going on this weekend on our side of things, too.
Yeah, we did.
So, Rodney McLeod reportedly close to bringing back. You talked about that last week.
Yeah, no, that's something that they certainly would like to have happen.
Yeah. Reportedly working out edge rusher Aaron Lynch, who hasn't played since 2000. Has 21 career sacks. I mean, this is AB does this. He'll find you.
Hey, go ahead and give him a shot. I mean, it's just a workout.
Yeah, this one's the one that garners the most attention. Reportedly signed Ravens Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley. How is it possible? I mean, the first thing I said, and I said this morning, is it tells me that is there a change in the Jameis Winston status?
No,
there is not.
No, from my understanding, that we like to have four quarterbacks. Going into camp, we did last year.
Yeah.
By the time we went into camp, it was Deshaun, Dobbs, DTR, and Kellen Mond. You've got Deshaun coming back off of a significant injury, although he's ahead of schedule and should be good to go with everything. You have DTR also coming off of a season-ending injury that I think may have been more challenging to recover from than people perhaps thought in the moment. Remember when he got twisted
yeah.
around? And so I think you got two quarterbacks that are a little bit banged up. Jameis is the backup, and Huntley's going to be here and compete. I mean, I signed for the vet minimum, so there's certainly no guarantee
yeah.
that he would be on the final 53. But I think that's really all that it is.
That's wild. So when I saw this, I thought, well, maybe Jameis changes scenery, and he, you know, something popped up in Denver and go play for Sean Payton. But that's not it. That's
my
understanding.
That's
not.
And these are this is from
yeah.
seeking out information. My understanding is that no, that is their. We had four last year. We've got two guys coming off of injury. We want to have four going into the offseason program.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think I understand how fans would be like, huh? Because Huntley is such an accomplished backup.
He is.
I mean, like, how many?
He's a Pro Bowler.
He is. But, like, how many accomplished backups do you need? Like, last year, you rolled with DTR only.
For sure. I think that this is – it also – look – we signed him for the vet minimum. So
I get it.
There wasn't demand.
But a lot of times you can kick the tires on a – if you need an arm in camp, like you can get a kid off the street to come
sure.
in.
Sure. But
a
that's
prospect
what this is. There's no, I'm sure yeah. there's no guaranteed money in it.
Yeah.
It'd only be guaranteed money if he makes the week one roster. So I just think it's just – they you know they like to have four going into camp. You got 90. So.
You would acknowledge this is out of the ordinary, though, to have – for what we normally do, considering what we've done in recent years with the backup quarterback position.
Like, and perhaps it's a little bit of a reaction because you bring him in here. There's no, you're under no obligation to pay him anything, but at least you have him
no.
in the event that whatever. I know
yeah.
that I do know that Ken Dorsey and Stefanski went out to LA and met with Sean and that kind of talked through what the new thing is going to be. And I think there's a lot of excitement about that.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is about him and his health. So that's all that it all has to be.
Nobody's worried about that.
Yeah.
Look at the great Yellowstone.
Striding.
Look at him as he goes.
He really is striding out a little bit. I know you guys have this later, but I also think that we have to do this now and because you have a lot in around the NFL. So last Friday, as we are coming back from break, you hadn't seen the news. I go, oh, man, it happened right as we're coming back from break. And I said, oh, wow, the Steelers just traded Kenny Pickett. And if you were on the YouTube stream watching us, you would have seen your reaction, and you say,
"He's going. They're getting Fields.
The Steelers are getting Justin Fields."
Yeah. Immediately, I may have been the first person to say that.
Just like that. All I did was read it. It happened in real time. We were on the show.
I got my head in my hand. Like they're getting
Justin Fields.
So they went from having Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph to Russell Wilson on a vet minimum, and now they have Justin Fields to be the heir apparent. How does this happen? And how, number one, how is all he's valued in the league as a conditional six that could turn into a fourth? Number one. Number two, if we were interested in a fourth quarterback, how do we not do that just to keep him away from them?
Yeah. All valid. How does Baltimore not do it? I have no idea. It's crazy. So there's several things on this. Number one, they said specifically, and I can't remember if it was, I can't remember which beat reporter over there it was, had a report, and the quote was, the Steelers are not interested in Justin Wilson or Russell Wilson or anyone like that. This was like a month ago.
Yeah, they're
not interested. They're not going to be in that game. And we're like, this doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense.
So not only did they say they're not going to be in that game, that's exactly the game they were in.
And they got both of them.
So there's that part of it. The second part about it is they get Russell Wilson, who we will acknowledge is not let Russ cook Russell Wilson anymore, but is a significant upgrade over what they've had at quarterback since Roethlisberger left. And they get him for about $1.50 is what it works out to. With Denver paying the other $38 million of salary. So they get him for next to nothing.
For free.
Then they turn around and they trade, for some reason, Philly's give back for Kenny Pickett blew my mind. If you're Philly, why wouldn't you just take Fields at that price?
And he feels like he fits in much better.
Much better with what you want to do.
I don't get it.
So they bring in, they traded more for Kenny Pickett than the Steelers traded for Justin Fields.
Yes.
Now, some of that I'm sure is that Pickett has a couple of years left on a deal and Fields will have to make a decision on. But, So, all of that is crazy. There was reporting out of Chicago that there were upwards of six teams interested on Fields, and this is the place he wanted to go, that were willing to get. I mean, this is a nothing give back. But that there were six other teams that had inquired about him at around this rate, and he wanted to go to Pittsburgh with the idea of he could sit for a year and then start.
I would love for you and I to be able to speak with anonymously general managers around the league to understand why Justin Fields only went for a conditional. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't get it. I'd like to know why. I just, if you're the Colts, get them to bring in there. If you got Richardson, like that way, if Richardson goes down, your season's not derailed because Minshew's gone. I think if I was Vegas, I would have taken him, and Minshew, let him have a real competition.
But what did that say about that? His coordinator is the coordinator in Vegas, and he wanted Minshew, not him.
So there's something, there's obviously
a component we don't know.
My guess is it goes back to the fact that he doesn't know how to read defenses and doesn't know how to, when the ball's supposed to go where they call the right play and the ball's supposed to go a certain place, he's not doing it at a rate in which they're comfortable with.
I think that's clearly got to be it. Look, this is open, throw it. Nah, I'm going to do that. But then something great happens half the time.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. The point is you're supposed to hit this.
Yeah.
And that annoys people. That's the only thing. But, like, you mentioned a couple of them that, I mean, like, obviously Indy would have made all the sense
in the world.
Why would
New England have taken a chance?
I have no idea. That was the one I laid out, was, like, do the New England. New England doesn't want to take him for a six, have him in there with Jacoby Brissett.
It doesn't make any sense.
And then you draft Marvin at three and
away you go.
Or trade out of three and get two picks from Denver or two picks from Minnesota. I guess you could do the two picks from Minnesota. Like, why would you not do that?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it. But it's – how much do you think he plays this year for them? Like, Russ will be the starter, but like
– I'm clearly out of touch with reality perhaps, but in my mind – why can't he beat Russ out?
Well, here's the other thing. Like,
why can't he do to Russ what Russ did to Matt Flynn?
He very well could. Because here's the other part of it. And Tomlin reportedly told Russ, like, you're the starter. This has nothing to do with you. I saw Russ, like, tweeting at him, quarterback room lit. Let's go get it, blah, blah, blah.
Let's weld.
But the reality is that when they're in that building, and that's a pretty lively building. There's a lot of personality on that roster. Fields is going to dominate that situation. He is alpha. Like, he is. Whatever he is, if we have him way overestimated as a football player, maybe we clearly do. That's fine. But he is leader of men, dude. So, like, they will gravitate towards him.
And not the strange bird.
And not the strange bird. So, I guess if we're hoping for chaos over there, that would be the chaos. That him in that room will upset.
I like them a lot more when they had a quarterback who stunk.
Yeah, two. In fact,
Rudolph played fine, but I mean, Kenny Pickett was the was their guy.
But
I
there
mean,
was a steel welded hard ceiling on that.
That's right.
Now,
the hard deck.
Yeah, there's no hard deck here. No. Yeah, it was. As soon as you said it, I knew it would be true. As I was reading the Pickett trade, I didn't put it together that quickly. You did, and then it happened, and it was done, and it was like, well, yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do. So now they will have
ruined
him.
My Friday.
So they'll have him, and then they'll be able to fifth-year option him for next year. So they'll have him for at least 2 years to see what he's all about and see if it works.
Yeah.
George Pickens going to like him.
They went from having Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and no future at that That's position right. at all to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and having, in my opinion, a potentially bright future at that position.
In a week. Yeah.
And Pickett demanded to be traded.
Right.
So what I don't understand is, so he demands to be traded.
Yes.
He stays in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And he goes to a place where he has absolutely no chance of playing unless there's an injury.
No chance
like
to play ever.
Just shut his mouth.
What's on with him? Remember, because he didn't suit up last year?
Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe he's a punk.
There are a lot of people defending him, though, and acting like this is some craziness.
Well, I think
happening.
Pittsburgh people love him.
Okay. Honestly, he should have just shut his mouth, tried to learn from Russell Wilson whatever he could, and then Russ is going to be gone in a year. And then you get to – you have one more chance. You'd have been in your fourth year. Yeah. And Justin Fields wouldn't be there.
No.
This is really Kenny Pickett's fault, honestly.
Maybe we can blame him.
I do.
Yeah.
I blame a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm surprised more people didn't – very surprised that there weren't other teams that kicked tires. Like,
who's Denver's quarterback?
They don't have one.
They have Jarrett Stidham right now.
Exactly.
That's it.
And Ben DiNucci.
So well, that's what led me when we were talking about Hundley. Like I was like, oh, are they – maybe they're going to – maybe the ink didn't sign on Jameis. That would make sense. Like, Sean Payton had Jameis in New Orleans. You know, Jameis is fun to watch. You know, that's why when I saw the stuff with Hundley, I was like, well, maybe that's what that's all about. But, yeah, they don't have anybody.
Man. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's crazy the way that it all shook out. The idea that, I mean, I remember thinking, like, when we first got to the combine, I thought Fields will go first, and then the rest will domino off of that. And then once we were there, I was like, actually, it's going to be Cousins, because then I realized Atlanta wanted Cousins bigly. So then I thought it would go Cousins, Fields, Wilson, down the line. That did not happen. I mean, even, like, what did Seattle give up for Sam Darnold? Sam Howell.
Yeah, like, more than that.
More than that.
It was a pick swap, though. Let me see. I think it was like...
Like, there was... Do you have it?
There was at least, like, a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick that got exchanged. So way more than Fields got.
It was... So they got Sam Howell. Come on, ESPN. Sam Howell and a fourth-round draft pick and a sixth-round pick in exchange for a third and a fifth.
So it's two pick swaps.
So it's moving down one round from the third to the fourth and one round from the fifth to the sixth.
Okay. That feels like more than a sixth.
Way more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. All right. Lots to get to. Lots going on around the league. Get you updated on that. Have a little early look at the brackets as well, because this is bracket week as it is. Coming up next, Z sitting down with newly re-signed punter Corey Bjorkaez. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns to ESPN Cleveland.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
My friends, are you tired of worrying about your roof or siding? Get peace of mind with upgrades from Renew Home Exteriors. The Renew Home Exteriors Lifetime Warranty roofing siding products offer durability and protection that you can trust. The best part, with no money down and no payments or interest for 24 months, improving your home has never been easier. Mention ESPN to receive an exclusive $2,000 off your upgrade. Enjoy peace of mind with a new roof or siding. Renew Home Exteriors, superior products and superior service. Visit RenewEstimate.com to book today. When you go to RenewEstimate.com and you have one of their guys come out and you go through their product, and you look at their product, what I want you to do is compare it to everybody else's product. Touch their product, feel it, see what it's made of, compare it to everybody else's. The decision then becomes quite, quite simple. Time for Z and Corey Bjorkes.
Joined by a returning member of your Cleveland Browns, punter Corey Bjorkes. Corey, congrats, man. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I bet. So how did this kind of process go for you, you know, becoming a free agent, coming off of, you know, back-to-back excellent seasons here? You had your second highest yards per punt of your career, 49.4, second highest net yards, 42.2, 31 kicks inside the 20. You guessed it, second most of your career. So it was a great year. What was this process like? Did you know when you wanted to come back, and then how did it all come together?
Yeah, you know, obviously we knew we wanted to stay here. You know, great place to be, great team to be a part of.
Yep.
So it was just, you know, weight game, really. You know, they had to get some other stuff done, get some other guys back, and once that was done, then we were able to kind of start talking, figure something out, and here we are.
And you mentioned this all happened while you were in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start there. Tell me about the trip.
It was awesome. You know, we took 2 weeks to go out there. It was our first time going out.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to Paris first, and then we went down to Nice for a couple days.
Oh, wow.
And then over to Rome, and then Florence. So
Florence.
Oh, it's amazing.
Florence is pretty good.
Amazing. Yeah,
good food. It's probably hard to come back from that.
It'll be interesting. Yeah.
What was your favorite of the places you went?
For the scenery and the food was Nice.
Really?
For the culture and the history and everything was definitely Rome. Yeah.
The Colosseum was pretty impressive. Yeah.
Colosseum, the Vatican. Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
That's cool. And did you go, it was the whole fam?
Yeah, all three of us.
All three of you?
Yep.
How'd she do?
So we did the red eye flight to Paris thinking, oh, surely she'll sleep the whole time. No, she didn't.
No,
she didn't. So it was a little rough on all of us. We landed like 1:30 a.m., you know, Cleveland time, and it was pretty rough. But once we got in, you know, we just slept for a little while, went around, saw the Eiffel Tower, and from there on, the rest of the trip was pretty smooth.
That's awesome. And then now your wife and your daughter here with you today for you to sign your contract, come back to the Cleveland Browns. What does it mean to kind of have your family here with you? That's got to be pretty neat.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, I mean, they're my rock. You know, they're what keep me going, you know, and stuff gets hard. So to have them here with me means a lot.
All right, let's talk about coming back. Bubba's back.
Yep.
You're back. D-Hop's back. Charlie's back.
Yep.
To have that continuity has probably got to be nice. And would this be one, maybe since Buffalo would be the only time you could have? Have you had kind of that continuity like this before?
No, I mean, college.
College,
you know, me
okay.
and Jason, you know, had 2 years together, but even then, my first year in New Mexico, I didn't hold for him. So, you know, this has really been the first time that we get all three of us going together again. So it's going to be good.
How pumped were the boys?
Oh, they're loving it. They're loving it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So you had a nice trip in the off season. Yep. You're coming back. What was it like if you reflect back kind of on your first year with Bubba Ventrone?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, he's a tough dude, but I love it. You know, he makes you work as hard as you can and, you know, brings out the best in you. So I'm looking forward to see what we got next.
What did you think of him in the locker room the night we beat the Jets, clinched the playoffs, and he's in there for the post-game speech in a helmet?
That kind of sums up who Bubba is. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that before?
No.
No.
And I hope I see it again next year.
Same. As you kind of reflect back on last season, you know, you had the best seat in the house for a lot of things. You were involved in, obviously, a lot of big plays as well. What do you kind of take away from what was, in many ways, a very magical season, but one that was fraught with so much to overcome?
You know, it was a lot, you know, with how much injury and stuff we had to still win 11 games and go to the playoffs. And really, I mean, up until the end, we're in it for the number one seed. I mean, that's just unreal. So it makes me excited to see, you know, keep everyone healthy, you know, how far we could go with that.
All right, so you boom the ball. We all know that. You can flip the field position. Five straight seasons, you've had a punt of at least 72 yards.
That's crazy. Go back to 2020 is 72. That was the longest in the league that year. 2021, 82. Last year, 76. This year, 73. How does this keep happening? Are you just killing it?
Even a blind, you know, squirrel finds an
acorn.
No,
no, no. 5 years in a row takes that out of the equation. That's not it's not chance anymore at that point.
You know, I don't know. I just ball hits your foot in the right spot, and you know how the wind gets here, and
sure,
it's like a plane. You get it up into the jet stream, and the thing just goes.
Let it go, and let it go. All right, in the off season, given we go back to Houston the first time,
yep,
have we spent some time on kickoffs and extra points and field goals, and in the event that you might have to be called upon?
Yeah, no, I think we let D-Bell take that again and let him get some more tackles. I think that's all right.
Which was actually turned out funny, and that was ended up being obviously it was. Very sad to see D-Hop go down. Yeah. You got banged up in that game as well.
Yeah.
But to see Chief lobbying, to see D-Bell going and trying to kick into the net, was that kind of surreal watching all of a sudden? It's like, what are we doing here?
It was like, this seems like a high school thing right now. Like, what are we doing? Like, it was pretty funny. But, you know, hey, the more you can do.
Yeah, the more you can do. Exactly. What does it mean to be back with these fans? Because I know that this is such a good football town. They even they love the punter. They appreciate everybody on the 53, right, that contributes to our success. What's it mean to be back here in Cleveland?
It means everything. I mean, that was one thing we were considering, you know, in free agency is, you know, where are you going to live? And, you know, we've found a good spot here, great neighborhood, you know, and we just love the community. And, you know, that was a big factor in us really wanting to stay here.
You just want the sun a little more, right? I
mean, hey, I'm not going to complain about the sun. You know, I was a little spoiled growing up in California, so.
Same. That's right. We're paying our time now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's so great to have you back. It's great that you get to have that continuity. You get to share this today as your little daughter's scurrying around after the football outside of our studio right now. It's awesome, man. So congrats and welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, very good. We will come up around the league. A lot of news over the weekend. We'll get you updated on all of that. Coming up next, you'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. New running back Nyheim Hines in studio. Good to see you, buddy. Thank you so much for your time. I guess let's start with this process and how you ended up a Cleveland Brown. We're thrilled to have you, obviously.
It was really easy. I mean, my first visit, I got released by Buffalo 2 weeks ago. As soon as I got released, Cleveland and some other teams reached out. Cleveland texted my agent and said we would want to have him first. Got me here last Monday. Got here, obviously, I know Bubba. I know Ken Dorsey.
Yep.
And then I actually saw Deuce Staley. When I saw those guys, I was like, oh, because Deuce actually ran my pro day when he was in Philly, and I always liked him. My dad even said, hey, I hope he coaches you one day. So I saw Deuce, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I like it here. Then I actually have been watching film with you guys when you had Joe and Deshaun and PJ and all the quarterbacks. So I've been watching film, and both sides kind of agreed that I think it would be a perfect fit, and they thought that, and we thought that. So it was really easy. I had some more visits set up, but after here, I was just like, oh, I like it. You got to go where you feel welcome and where you feel like it's home. So
it's awesome. Well, you said, look, you're dressed for success today, looking very sharp. You said you got to make a good first impression. Apparently the Browns did that that visit. They've done it, and you did as well. No, you've already done it.
When I get on the field, I got another first impression to make after I rehab, get my stuff back, and go on the field.
How are you doing physically?
It's going well. I've been running for about 4 weeks now.
How hard was it to miss a season like that?
Oh, it was hard. But I think, you know, the biggest thing of it was a mental reset. It was I want to play over 10 years. It's my seventh year. I had a break, I guess, in year six.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for, come back and try to see if I can get 5 more years out of it. But I think playing-wise, I mean, it was hard watching, but I think the rehab with it just sucked because any person who's had knee surgery just knows the first 2 or 3 months are just – they're brutal. You can't hardly sleep. They have you on certain drugs, like the Percocets might make you feel weird. Like it was tough, but I think just watching the team, especially watching my former team losing the playoffs to a team that I essentially really came there to help them beat. That's why I even went to Buffalo. I'm like, okay, maybe I can be a player to help them get over the top. That was really hard going through the year. But honestly, mentally, I've been up and down, but I've been a lot better the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, good to see you smiling. I like that.
Yeah, that's it. I can't imagine. I mean, Nick's going through that. He had the catastrophic injury he had on his knee, and it's those first months when you're having to physically. It's one thing to, like, the shock of, oh, my God, this happened. Then the rationalization of, like, all right, we're going to do surgery. But then if you – then now the rehab part, right? I mean, don't mean to take you down a negative town.
It was just tough.
It just got to seem – to me, it seems grueling. I've never been through it. I can't imagine going through it.
I think, yeah, it's like we're professional athletes. Like my whole life, I've been able to do whatever I wanted to. If I want to do a backflip, I can do it. If I want to anything, and then you tear your ACL, and any person who tears their ACL knows your quad doesn't fire. So I'm like getting ready for surgery, and they're like, oh, yeah, squeeze your quad. I'm squeezing it, turning red, about to pass out, and my quad's not firing at all. So I think really the first part of like that whole surgery is really getting your mind and your my mind and my quad personally back on track. I wanted to break up with myself for the first 3 months, but we got the quad going, and everything's good now. I have great people at Elite Ortho. Deshaun's actually out there. We've been actually building our chemistry for about 5 months and didn't even know it. So
That's pretty cool,
and we have great people out there. Dr. Elitrosh is great. So I think I'm in a good place. I should be ready to go for the season, and that's what we're working for.
Did it kind of renew your, man, I love playing this game?
Heck yeah, man. Yeah. I think especially being in Indy for 5 years, I had so many ups and downs. Like I play with Andrew Luck. That's how I know I'm getting old. And then ever since then, you know, it was kind of up, down. Like, you know, I played with Carson Wentz. I played with like seven different quarterbacks, Carson, Matt, Phillip, to name Jacoby Brissett. So, you know, sometimes through that process, you're like, dang, like, what am I doing here? Do I love it? And I know one thing, after this ACL and watching everybody else play, I know how much I love it. I would do anything to go out there and run and return a punt or catch a pass. I think there's things that happen for a reason, and I think God slowed me down, but also really I always knew I love football, but I've been healthy my whole life. I've missed five games in my entire life. I didn't miss my first game until my fifth year in Denver. I'm sure a lot of people saw that concussion.
Yeah.
And I didn't miss a practice or game before then, so I've always been healthy, so it was really hard just to not be healthy.
Yeah. Jeez. Man, you can't imagine. And then you come in here and you look at what this offense did towards the end of last season, but then also the notion from Kevin Stefanski, like, we got to be better, we got to be more diversified. They bring in Ken. You obviously played for him in Buffalo. What elements of the offense from Ken's past do you think will fit nicely with this personnel grouping?
I think Ken's, first of all, a great play designer. I think in the RPO game and the empties and, like, drop back pass, I think that's where he's going to excel. He loved empties. We've seen Josh Allen have a lot of success in empties and then the RPO, QB runs. We have the quarterback to do kind of the same thing. Deshaun, obviously.
Yep.
He's no slowly. He can run great. He's a phenomenal athlete. So I played against him for 4 or 5 years in Houston. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see him get back to that form because he was an elite quarterback. Even after they let go of Fuller and D-Hop, he still threw for 4,000 yards. So we got a guy here, and I'm excited to be a part of a playoff team with a great quarterback and the number one defense in the league so we can get some punt returns here.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the punt returns. You got a couple punt return touchdowns in your career, a couple kick return touchdowns. That's something the Browns really been looking for since Josh Cribbs has left, honestly, trying to find that return guy. You know Bubba. He obviously knows you, and obviously that's probably a big reason why this all kind of came together. What do you love about the return game, and how can you help?
Well, first off, I know for sure that I'm sure Bubba probably talked to AB and Kevin, and he probably still on the table for me. So first off, I thank Bubba and Ken for talking highly of me here. And I know a lot of the schemes with Bubba, I had success there. So I think we have something going on. I think we have some success here. I just have to do my part, read the ball, judge it, trust my teammates. We have great special teams guys here. Shoot, I know the special teams are good. We fought you guys like 4 years ago in 2019, so I know you in the joint practice.
That's
so,
right.
I know it's a great scheme. I know we have great players, and I know I have to just go back there and do my job, and I think it'll take off.
You are a part of maybe, I think, one of the most, if the NFL is scripted, that play would have happened. Your kick return, the first play after the scary incident with Damar Hamlin. When you kind of reflect back on that, was that a surreal moment, the emotions? Watching it was crazy.
It was honestly one of the best days of my life. Truthfully, the first return, I kind of saw it. We played them Thursday night probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we ran the same return, and one of their backside players tripped me up. But I saw the outside. So the first play of the game, it kind of looked the exact same. And this time I bounced it, and there was nobody there. So really good. The first one was crazy, what I saw. But the second one, we drew up in the dirt. Like we kind of sold it off the original middle return we ran, and we came back to the left. And I haven't seen many returns in my life as a returner just get drawn up and work. So it was just one of those days where you just – in football and sports, so some days are just on. Like some days Steph Curry just comes out and doesn't miss a shot. I just had a day like that, and I pray to have more like that. And I had a day like that with Bubba too. So hopefully I'll have another two-return game, and I'd love to, you know, start off the season right.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, start off the season right and just do it right. I feel like I should have been the Pro Bowl or All-Pro, but I feel like I always just have good returns in, like, week 17. So
We'll do it early.
I would love to get my knee right and get it going right away. I'm a respected returner, and I know a lot of the punters, so I just got to go out there and do my job.
Did you happen to see, you mentioned your relationship with Bubba, did you happen to see the, probably not, but the video when we clinched and coach is giving, clinched the playoffs?
Oh, no, I didn't see it. Please tell me.
So he's,
it's my favorite thing.
Stefanski is giving the, you know, we did it.
In the locker room.
In the locker room, made the playoffs. And you don't notice it right away. We did, but I don't know that fans realize right away. Bubba is standing next to him with a helmet on.
That's Bubba, though.
That's exactly that's what right. everybody was.
That's
right.
what Bubba. He said.
Like yeah. one thing I do like about here, like even Larry, our strength coach. There's a lot of former players here. Like you like it. Like I was just lifting with Larry. He was doing abs with me and lifting. So yeah. that's pretty cool. I think the thing about Bubba is he's very passionate. He's gonna get after you. He's gonna coach you hard. But like one thing he's gonna do is in the film room, he's gonna show his own plays. Like in Indy, he used to show his plays. Like when they used to have the wedge. Like I've seen Bubba get knocked out.
Yeah.
Like he said, he's got knocked out and didn't even know where he was. So as that, you can respect it. But yeah, I know Bubba. Even in Indy, Bubba used to run sprints. I had to practice every day. I think Bubba still wants to play, and I think Bubba probably could still suit up, but I'm sure he wants to.
He definitely wants to. He said if he can go in a straight line, he's fine, but if he has to change direction, forget about it.
Put him on the kickoff team. You don't have to do that much change of direction there.
Just run down there. So one of our good friends on the program, we call him Will Scarlett, sent me an article that I read that early in your career, you went and worked actually at a Bojangles because you wanted to own some Bojangles franchises. First of all, incredible story. I think that's so cool that you wanted to go experience it. So I guess we're in the future now. Have you followed through on that?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Saving
okay.
some money and just waiting my time. First of all, I think that takes a lot of time. That probably yeah, pull me sure. away from here. I have some good friends. I know somebody who owns 50 of them. He's kind of been showing me the way.
Okay.
So I think,
but it's still in the plans.
Yeah, I would like to. I like to own a business or some sort of restaurant. Maybe it was Bojangles or something. I'd like to get, or Chick-fil-A. Yeah, I'd love to get my foot in the door, but really just got, I'm trying to focus on football, but I'm not forgetting about life after football, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. You had a nice weekend. The Wolfpack did okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That's
fun, right?
As a NC State fan, since I can remember, I don't think we've ever had a time or we'll have a time like that. We haven't won an ACC title since 1987, and we beat Duke and Carolina in 2 days.
So there's
no
good.
Excuses. Like, yeah, I've been talking to a bunch of cold cast to my friends. Yeah. Like, I don't want to hear anything. We beat Duke. We beat Carolina. Won an ACC title. Like that's remarkable. Honestly, I was super excited to be an NC State fan.
Yeah, that was very, very cool. And you informed us before we started that we're going to have a new listener. Uncle AJ is locked in.
Yeah, yep, let's
shout
go.
Out Uncle AJ.
Come on, right. Uncle AJ.
1-3, Uncle AJ, every yeah. day.
1-3? I'm definitely text him and let him know we shout
and
him out.
He just downloads the Browns mobile app, and he can listen at his leisure.
That's right.
We'll be live 1-3 every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Money for it. Always like to ask people this question when they come to the team because it's so exciting, and you know, we know you can return kicks. We know you can do out of the backfield. People know that. What's something maybe that people don't know about Nyheim Hines that you would want them to know when they watch you play, they see Hines on the back of your jersey, something you want them to have maybe in the back of their mind?
What is something? Honestly, I think off the field, I'm just a regular person just like y'all. Like, I got a twin sister. Her name is Naya. She's the reason why I went to NC State. When I got drafted, she said we got drafted. The twin telepathy is real. Yeah. The next thing is I'm a 2024 national spokesperson for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. For 4 years going on now.
That's awesome.
Supporting that. And other than that, I love to play the drums and play the guitar. I love rap music and I love Fall Out Boy.
A renaissance man.
Yeah, love Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy. It's all there. That's great, man. Covering the whole spectrum. I like it.
It is so cool to have you here, man. Yeah. I can't wait to see you in our uniform this fall and get you healthy and see what's all capable. It's going to be fun, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you guys so much, and I'm happy to be the Dog Pound.
That's exactly right. Nyheim Hines joining us. Oh, he got one of those in.
He's ready.
Top dog would be proud. He's ready to go, man.
He's ready.
He's ready to go, man. All right, second hour up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Don't miss Billy Joel and Rod Stewart.
Don't you dare.
It's the first time. It might be the only time.
It will be. One night only.
It's one night only here. We don't know if it'll be the only time. It's possible they run it back. They might run it back 3 years from now somewhere else.
What does one night only mean?
One night only at Cleveland Browns Stadium on September 13th.
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say it's Billy Joel and Rod Stewart together
for
one night only.
It's so presumptuous to us, though, to say that they will never do this again anywhere in the world.
This is what it's called.
I wonder if it's in the contract.
Don't take the chance.
You guys can do it. You're, yeah, there you
don't
go.
Don't take the chance.
You think like part of the contract is you're doing this once and that's it.
Yeah, don't take the
you
chance.
You can never do this again.
Don't take the chance that they run it back.
In fact, one night only. You can get the tickets. Here's how. You go to clevelandbrownstadium.com/BillyandRod2024.
Billy and Rod 2024.
It's Billy Joel and it's Rod Stewart and they're together for one night only.
One night only.
That's it. That'll do it.
That's it. That'll do it.
You're just going to go in that one? That voice.
That's good. I like
it. That's pretty good. All right. You got a lot here.
A lot here.
The according to John Breach, I've had John on before, the Chiefs might explore the option of leaving Kansas City if upcoming sales tax vote doesn't go their way. No, they're not.
Right. Same. That sounds like that's a threat to try to get the outcome that they desire. That it's an empty threat. You can call their bluff on that.
Yeah, you're not relocating the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure somebody said that sometime about Art Modell, that you're not relocating the Cleveland Browns, and it happened. But because that happened, that won't happen.
Right.
There's no chance that that's not going to happen. You saw Mahomes' house. He's not building that. He's not selling that.
No.
You build that to be there the rest of your career. That's the whole operation.
Right. That's the operation.
Their situation is unique in terms of where their stadiums are. Did they redo Kauffman, or did they – there was something with the Royals that got done.
So the Royals right there. Submitted plans to build a new one.
So they're going
to
build downtown. A new one. Oh, they want to go downtown.
They're going downtown.
It's a cool park.
Pretty nice looking
water effects
too.
In the back.
Oh, it's awesome. And they're right off the freeway.
Yeah, it's right.
But neither one are near downtown.
Well, no. And there's you just – that was awful, Uno.
What did he do?
Missed.
Shocking.
Yeah. But
zero
there's no
catches
hotels.
Last week, right? Zero catches?
No hotels, no bars.
One catch.
Oh, yeah,
11
one
yards.
You play tonight or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Jeez.
Do we need to talk to Coach Quarterback and see if we can get you some more targets?
Corey.
Did we talk about some of the routes that we're going to use to get open? A little drag route? Love a drag route. A little drag and go? All right, so they want to do the baseball teams going downtown, and then what do you do with the Chiefs, right? That's what it comes to?
Yeah, but, I mean – that's a great opportunity for the Chiefs. If they're, I'm assuming you're not going to leave Kauffman Stadium up if you're going to build a new one.
No.
So that's your chance to finally put some hotels and restaurants and bars.
Is that what do they want?
It is just one big parking lot.
Right. Yeah. It's right off the freeway.
Yeah.
Like when I drove from Montana to Florida, you drive right by it, like 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah. I wonder what they want. Do they want a new stadium or do they want renovations to Arrowhead? Arrowhead's old.
Old.
Yeah.
Not great.
No.
I mean, cool
sure it's
environment.
It's loud and
yes,
it's all
cool
of that. But like,
for sure.
I'm guessing sure. If you're the Hunt family and probably if you're Patrick Mahomes, you'd like a dome.
I mean,
let's dome it up, baby. A little climate control.
Everybody's well, especially since dome. People had to get things amputated, body parts, after the playoff game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That kind of got hidden in the.
Yeah.
All right. During a recent interview, Chiefs President Mark Donovan was asked what the team's plan might be going forward if the sales tax fails. He said a relocation would certainly be on the table. I think they would have to include the options, would include leaving Kansas City. On the other hand, he did make it clear the Chiefs would like to stay in the city where they spent the past 61 years. Our goal here is we want to stay here, and we are willing to accept a deal for the county to actually stay here.
So
they recently unveiled plans for an $800 million renovation at Arrowhead Stadium that would upgrade almost everything. Not only would parking and tailgating improve, but the team would also add new video boards and better luxury amenities. The team would also add a 360-degree concourse that would allow fans to finally navigate the entire stadium when sitting in the upper deck. The team is also planning to add some new club areas in the end zone. The Chiefs are planning to foot $300 million of the renovation bill, but the rest would come from the extension of a 3/8 cent sales tax that would be voted on in Jackson County on April the 2nd. Sales tax is already in place through 2031. If voters approve the extension, it would stay in place till 2064. If it gets approved, the Chiefs have said they would sign a 25-year lease at Arrowhead, which would include a team option for three five-year extensions. Currently expires 2031, so even if the extension gets voted down, the Chiefs won't be going anywhere for another 7 years, but it would certainly create some drama in Kansas City.
So it's like an arms race between the Royals and Chiefs who can get stuff upgraded.
Clark Hunt saying, we would not be willing to sign a lease for another 25 years without the financing to properly renovate and reimagine the stadium. So the financing puzzle is very important to us to make sure we have enough funds to do everything we've outlined.
I mean, I can tell you, especially in the lower levels and confines of that stadium, like you're falling over one another after a game. trying to get around stuff.
Okay.
Like, there, it is not it's, easy.
It's already in place. It's an extension for the future.
Yeah.
And at that point, 3/8 of a cent is going to be worth a lot less than it. I mean, yeah. It feels like a no-brainer. If feels, you keep your Kansas City Chiefs to just say, yeah, we're already doing it. Let's just keep it going.
Let's keep it going. Yeah.
Right.
The Royals are – that's Walmart money, right? Pretty sure. Glass, I'm pretty sure he's Walmart money.
Yeah, I like that.
Griff ought to know. He's our Kansas bureau chief.
He just said
it's a No, that I know, but I'm pretty sure he is,
also
too.
Own baseball.
It's a different family. There's a, Sam had a lot of relatives.
Working through it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Doesn't Glass still own him? His name David Glass?
John Sherman.
Oh, maybe he sold him.
Since 2009, the team has been owned by majority owner John Sherman, amongst many other Kansas City business owners and entrepreneurs. So maybe that guy had it prior to that.
Oh, that could be.
I don't know, but a baseball team that's valued at $1.2 billion, placing them 27th out of MLB's 30.
Right, yeah, so I had this. So, yeah, Glass was before that. He was the president and CEO of Walmart, and he was the owner and chief executive of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Got it.
Or the Kansas City Royals, rather. Yeah, yeah.
Sherman is the founder and former chairman and chief executive officer of Energy LP. Energy, I-N-E-R-G-Y.
So Glass had it. He agreed to sell the team to Sherman, who was the Indians at the time vice chairman. And that was in 2019.
Yeah,
so he sold the team in 19.
Was the money
so Glass was
the
guy
Indian
who, when
stuff.
They won the when they won the World Series, that was Glass, that was and he had the Walmart money. So I didn't realize that he had
moved on,
moved himself. Yeah,
divested.
Yeah, he actually passed away in 2020.
Oh,
there you go. So there's a little history for you kids on all of that.
So Sherman founded Energy. It merged with Crestwood Holdings in 2013. Reporting an enterprise value of $8 billion. He divested control of the company in 2014. Right. And then he got into sports with the minority share of the Indians in 2016, became their vice chairman.
I don't know how you own a baseball team. Like, their situation out there, I don't know how that is something that would be tenable. Like, if you're not in an entertainment district or you're not downtown – to get people to just go out 81 times a year,
out in the middle
to
of
the
nowhere.
Hinterlands,
yep.
It's over.
Yep.
People aren't doing that anymore, man. They're not. It's done.
Agreed.
They're not doing it with stadiums downtown. No.
Whose history would you rather have? The Kansas City Royals in our lifetime, two World Series championships, but large swaths of total irrelevancy.
Yes.
Large swaths, like 20 years of just not nothing. Or Indians. In the mix, Indians in the mix a lot. Multiple World Series appearances, division titles. They've clearly been the better franchise during the majority of our lifetimes, but two World Series versus none. But you're getting the relevancy all the time with the Guardians. They've largely been relevant.
Yeah.
I would have rather had them win one.
Win two. Well, they've won two.
Or two, yeah.
One in 85 with George
Brett.
Four
AL pennants and two World Series.
Well, in the early 80s, they would lose the Yankees all the time in the AL pennant. And then they broke through and won in 85.
Brett Saberhagen and
Mark call. Yeah, and George Brett and all those cats. And that's the one where the call at first base, like you ask people from St. Louis about that, they'll punch you in the throat.
Yes, they will.
Not like they haven't won enough in St. Louis. They've won plenty. And then they won it with those guys that were homegrown, with Grinke and all those guys that were the homegrown.
They went. Didn't they go back to back? They went.
They went, and then the next year they won it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should talk to the two guys in here that care about baseball.
I think we managed it okay.
Fine.
We were doing fine. I think we did it pretty good. Former Chiefs, former Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams has a couple of visits lined up, including the Steelers and Jets.
And Mike Williams' last visit on that tour will be in the land of the pukers.
Well, they don't have Deontay anymore.
Well, they have Pickens and they have Austin. I mean, he would. Sure.
Great.
Good.
Why not?
Just
Why
wonderful. Not?
Why isn't he meeting with any teams in the NFC?
Because everybody in the NFC knows they don't have to try.
So annoying.
Donovan Peoples-Jones re-signing with the Lions on a one-year deal there.
Good for him. $2 million. Good for DPJ.
Good.
Love DPJ.
Odell Beckham Jr. saying goodbye to Baltimore, gentlemen. 1 year there. That was a profitable year.
Saying goodbye, but no one signed him.
Well, they obviously said, you're not in our plans. Because wasn't it a two-year deal for him there?
No, it was one.
Just
it was
one
for
just
15.
One for big money.
For 15. Yeah.
15. Jeez.
Stealing money.
Yeah.
God bless. He could end up back in L.A. with the Rams as well. So this was pretty easy to project. So Ohio State Pro Day is Wednesday down in Columbus.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison's not doing anything. Nothing. Not running, not catching. His attitude is, my resume is my tape, and I did the Pro Day last year with C.J. Stroud. You don't need to see me do it again. I acknowledge that while I think he is a sure thing, it's odd for somebody to skip all of this.
That's what I said.
And I don't know the reason for why he's doing all of it. I think he can afford to.
The problem is it just makes you think, because he's not going to tell you why.
Right.
So you're what is he hiding? What are we? Which makes you then think about things, and you get to situations like this.
So then you have both. This happened today. Daniel Jeremiah, Chris Sims had Marvin Harrison third.
Chris Sims, I'm looking at Chris Sims' top five wide receiver prospects. This came about an hour before our show. One, Malik Nabers. Two, Brian Thomas Jr.
Those are both, Nabers I know is LSU. Isn't the other kid LSU too?
Yep. Number three is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Where's
four
Washington?
Four is Rome.
Yeah.
Rome Adunzie.
And then five is Roman Wilson.
Okay. From Michigan?
So
He's got two guys from LSU.
Jeremiah mentioned this to me at the combine.
Nabers, yeah.
Nabers.
So both Jeremiah and Brugler mentioned the possibility Malik Nabers could be the first wide receiver off the board, not Marvin Harrison Jr. Nabers is lightning fast. That's the deal there. I guess we'll see. I tend to think it'll end up going the way that it's been projected to go for over a year, and that he'll be the first receiver off. But despite that, I can also acknowledge that it's odd to do nothing. And then I don't know of anybody who's ever not done anything at any position. Like, just not work out at the combine, then not do your pro day.
Saying I'm done.
You're saying I'm good. I'm training for next year. My tape's my tape.
Yeah. It seems.
Yeah, his dad is who his dad is. The tape's incredible. The measurables are incredible. But it's an odd choice, I think, to not do anything.
Agreed.
So Chris Sims says this about Brian Thomas, the guy he ranks number two out of LSU. Brian Thomas Jr. runs by everybody. Love how he uses his size so well to box out and get to contested balls. Extremely twitchy for a guy his size. And after the catch, he's angry, looking to score every time he has the ball. Number two wide receiver this year.
So what does he say about Marvin Harrison? What is his...
Stand by?
Right? Like, that's...
Maybe Jaden Daniels is overrated if he had the two best receivers in college football.
Yeah. Perhaps he was. I just think... Marvin Harrison, you just know.
Like, it feels like a layup, right? Like
doesn't have anything. So the podcast is coming out this afternoon, so I'm assuming they just put out a couple
of blurbs. Well, by the way, the best way to get people to download your podcast is to say something like that. He does this every year.
Of course.
With his QB rankings.
Yeah, he does with the QB rankings. Like, I got Tom Brady 28th this year. Okay.
So he says, it's an awesome group. So much to like with Nabers, Thomas, and Harrison. I just think the LSU guys are able to separate more and run by you better than Harrison.
Hmm. And that's why, if you're Marvin Harrison, that's why you run a 40.
Yeah.
So you say, I can run by people too.
Here's a 4.39. And
just like that helped, if I'm not mistaken, didn't it help Olave what he actually, didn't he run a really fast time?
He did, yeah. But he still ended up fallen a little bit.
He's still first round.
Middle of the first round, yeah.
Garrett Wilson went before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Marvin's the most sure of all of them, of that group, and they've had good ones.
How would you have compared him to Garrett Wilson?
They're totally different. Wilson is more twitchy, and he's more make you missy, whereas Marvin's a big dude. He's big frame, and I think Marvin's ability, they both are similar in their ability to make like the circus catch.
Yep.
But Marvin's, his catch radius and his size, I would think, would be quite a bit bigger.
Marvin is 6'4", 205.
Yeah, he's a load.
He's like an AJ Green.
Yeah, yeah. He's more like that type of a guy. So, he was dominant.
Yeah. So, of course.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see where all of this goes. All right, we will get you updated on where we are. I was curious about, we'll kind of go through like the 53 and and it kind of take a look about where we are with all of the stuff that has happened. We will do that coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And be part of the one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join Next Gen STM, presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist of your Cleveland Browns, being a Next Gen STM, the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Is Gibby in there, or did he just leave? No, he just left. All right, I have something for him that I want to get his view on. Before we do that, though, where are we now? Are you okay? I think you're on.
For whatever reason, the left ear just stopped working at the end of the last segment. Like something popped, and then this one's not working, but this one's working, so it's fine.
You're right.
As long as I got one in.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Where are we roster-wise now as we continue with free agency? There's nothing else in free agency. I mean, you're gonna, if there's stuff that's out there that falls in your lap,
I mean,
you kick the doors on things. But I think I asked you last week, how close to this plan is what Andrew Berry wanted done? Check, check, check.
Yeah. So I would say right now, quarterbacks 3, Watson, Winston, DTR, and then Huntley obviously has a chance to compete, or maybe DTR's not. We'll see. Running backs 4, Nick Chubb, Pierre Strong, Jerome Ford, Naheem Hines. Receivers 6, Cooper, Judy, Moore, Tillman, Bell, and then I think plus 1. So that could be draft. That could be a free agent, a burner. To me, it feels like that's a speed guy. Tight ends 3, Njoku, Akins, and Giovanni Ricci, or Zaire Mitchell-Payton. Tackles 4, Wills, Conklin, DeJuan Jones, and then I think there'll be a competition between James Hudson and Hakeem Adeniji. Guards 3, Betonio, Teller, Michael Dunn. Centers 2, Posick, Nick Harris. That's 25 on offense. Defense 5, defensive ends, Garrett Smith, Alex Wright, Oboe, and Isaiah McGuire. Tackles 4, so you've got Dalvin, you've got Jefferson, Quentin Jefferson, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Quinn Jefferson, Shelby Harris, Maurice Hurst, Siaki Ika. So there's probably three for two spots with Shelby, Mo Hurst, and Siaki Ika, maybe on the initial 53. Linebacker 6, you got JOK, Jordan Hicks, Tony Fields, Devin Bush, Mahmoud Diabati, and then maybe you bring back a Matthew Adams, but that 6 linebacker is not clear yet. Corners, you'd have 5 right now. You have Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom, MJ Emerson, Cam Mitchell, and then Brown, Tony Brown, who's the special teams guy, the Mike Ford of this year. And then safeties, you got 5. You got Juan Thornhill, Ronnie Hickman. You got Grant Delpit, Rodney McLeod, at least it's being reported, is on his way back, and DeAnthony Bell. And then you've got your punter, kicker, and long snapper. I mean, you have 53
You're
right now
in.
before you draft. And so there's going to be obviously some competition coming out of the draft, I would imagine. And I still still think that's an offensive tackle, defensive tackle, wide receiver, running back, tight end. And I think there's definitely there's spots where you can compete, another corner. So I think, yeah. But you're definitely
in a
good
position,
spot.
Though, and this is where you felt pretty confident that AB would want to be. And if every team should aspire to this if they can, and that is that you go to the draft without saying we have to draft this position.
Yeah, there's nothing
you can just
to.
Be loyal to your board. Somebody drops that's just too damn good to pass up, you pounce.
Just take them, yep.
And that's the position you're in here with this roster. It's a really nice roster. It's a really competitive roster. Man, Naheem Hines was impressive.
He really was. Jordan Hicks was really impressive when I said that with Jordan Hicks last week. Really impressive guy.
Yeah. So they're bringing in some good citizens as well, and it's – Yeah, it's a roster. But the crazy thing about it is, as we talked about in the first segment with the Justin Fields move, and if Mike Williams ends up there, like, everybody in the division is working under the same auspice. They're all in.
Yeah, the Bengals said, oh, the back of our end of our defense wasn't good, so now we bring Von Bell back and we get Geno Stone. The Steelers get Russ and Justin Fields. The
Patrick Queen, too.
And Patrick Queen. The Ravens are the one team outside of adding Derrick Henry that doesn't feel like overall they've enhanced. They brought in Derrick Henry.
They were the one that had to get rid of stuff, though.
But they lost. They've already lost Stone. They lost their whole defensive staff, other than the linebackers coach, who's now the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They lost Geno Stone. They lost Patrick Queen. So far, Clowney's not back. Kyle Van Noy's not back, at least not that I've seen. So they've had more exodus, and their only real addition has been Derrick Henry, which is a big one.
It's significant, but you're right. Yeah, they had such... They were in such, when we did like their free agency preview, we had the expert on, they were in such cap purgatory.
Yes.
That there surely was no way out of it. Like, yep. they were going to lose a bunch of talented players, and they did. I guess from their perspective, though, like, I assume that they'd lose Todd Monken this year, and they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, obviously getting Kirk Cousins makes it for Atlanta, but boy, that would have been a nice one with Monken and Justin Fields there. At least I think so.
Well, you wouldn't have to give him $100 million either.
No.
If you're Atlanta, you could have done Monken and you could have done Fields for a six.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that's the way that goes. But this is – so now, and just from a calendar, now you're going to get all the pro days that will happening now. You're going to get the silly season that happens, and then you'll have the draft. And that's where we are in the calendar here. And then next thing you know, it'll be minicamp, and away we go. We'll take a look at the rest of the weekend in sports coming up next. A little March Madness, official coaching hire down at Ohio State as well. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Oh, now Gibby's back. Gibby.
Hi.
You see Dambrot retiring at Duquesne?
I did, after he clinched.
Yeah. So first time Duquesne's ever made the NCAA tournament, right? Or first time since the 70s or something?
1977.
Wow. So they make the tournament. They end up winning the upset. They were, who was the one seed in that, Uno?
Richmond.
Okay.
It was Richmond and Loyola were the top two seeds.
Okay. Yeah, the Spider. Yeah.
It's great.
So Duquesne gets in, and then Dambrot, this is it. A good way to go out.
Absolutely. He's taking a couple teams now to the dance.
So he had LeBron the first 2 years he was at St. Vincent St. Mary? Because then Drew had him. Drew Joyce had
first
him.
Two.
Is that who it is? Okay.
Yep.
So first two, and then he goes to Akron and is great there, and then goes to Duquesne. So there you go. And he's stepping down as well.
Real quick on the Justin Fields, this came across my thing. Ian Rappaport said, and I don't know if we had said this, we knew that six teams were interested, but that supposedly Fields rejected four of the trade destinations before the deal with the Steelers and said that was where he wanted to go. So he rejected, not that it, I feel like he didn't have a no trade clause, but.
No, they just, I think they wanted to do it right by him.
Yeah.
I wonder how that's playing in Chicago. Like how, because he was absurdly popular with the fan base there.
Yeah.
And with that, like, the players on that team loved him.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, like, how that's – is. Do you think the reality of what they got back for him is, like, a reality check for the fan base of what he actually was or the way he's perceived? Would have to be some.
You would think so. I don't know. I think it's one of those things when it's like they're going to have – all the Bears fans are going to get to watch the draft, and you're going to hear Jeremiah and all these guys gush over Caleb Williams, and then you're going to say, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. And it's going to be a pretty damn good team.
We've got DJ Moore. We've got Keenan Allen. We've got DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
Got Cole Kmet.
Yeah,
that's
weapons.
A fun team.
It's a very fun team. Yeah. Yeah. And if Williams is special, then you're set up. Like the way they've never been. They've never been set up.
Correct.
Ever.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Keith Dambrot, head coach at St. Vincent St. Mary, 98 through 2001. Akron assistant, 01 to 04. Head coach Akron 04 to 2017 and Duquesne 2017 to present. Career record in college, 516 and 301.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Three MAC championships and one A-10 championship.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. There you go. So the only year LeBron didn't win it was his junior year?
I believe in high school? That's the case.
And they got upset by that team out of the Dayton area?
Yeah, they won three out of the four.
Was it the third year, Kev?
Yeah, it was the third year, yeah. Because I watched that More Than a Game documentary, and that was a huge thing about how they were going for redemption in his fourth year. And Joyce was being questioned whether he could coach or not since they lost after.
Oh, his first year they lost.
Yeah.
No pressure. Yeah, I did not watch the LeBron James documentary at all.
Well, no. Yeah. All right. So he won three out of four, and Dan Brett was there for the first two, and then Drew won their senior year. You imagine an aggrieved high school LeBron James? Well, then his senior year, you're dealing with all the Hummer and all that business. Was he eligible? Was he not? I mean, that was I was obviously not here at that time, but that was an absolute circus.
So also about Duquesne, Drew Joyce III, their associate head coach, he's probably the guy next in line to take over when Dan Brett retires.
Yeah. He's got a.
So there's just Drew Joyce and them all over this.
His son is Beamsy's age, so they're in the same AAU operation, Drew Joyce's son. And I think Drew Joyce is coaching that squad. So, yeah, that's cool. Very cool.
By the way, Chris Sims on Marvin Harrison.
All right.
Harrison Jr. has so much good in his game. He's NFL ready, will be a star, catches the ball and gets up the field right away at an elite level. Would have been number one last year. Just don't think he's as explosive or gets separation in the same way Neighbors and Thomas do.
Okay. So I don't understand that. they're faster?
It would appear that way.
So I'm looking at a mock draft right now.
Chris Sims, a big Anthony Schwartz guy.
From Roto World, Pro Football Talk, all of that. They've got Marvin Harrison going fourth overall, Neighbors going sixth to the Giants, and Rome Odunze going ninth to join Caleb Williams in Chicago.
So that's the nuts scenario.
So if they get, they would have him and DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
Yeah, that would be,
I mean,
ready-made. I'm not sure quarterback. The only thing is you get the bozo coach. That's the only thing. Like, they had a chance to reset everything.
Yeah.
And, like, they could have gone. I mean, heck, they could have hired Lincoln Riley. Not to say he would have been ready to coach in the league, but, like, could have hired him to call to just get a good defensive guy to handle that side of it. Make Lincoln Riley the head coach, and he can call the plays. It's wild to me.
It is a very, very unique. Yeah, they were a ton of talent on the offensive side.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. They're gonna be. That division is gonna be really fun. Really fun.
The Lions are fun. Love's football good. Team. The Packers are gonna be fun.
If he can rebound, that was tough the way that ended.
For who?
Love.
Against the Niners?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's
be all right.
Yeah,
I liked him. He was good.
This is his first time kind of in that kind of a mix. While the Niners were a pretty established team, and they got they did it to the Lions too.
Yeah, Vikes are gonna be.
Feels like they're in,
rebuild mode there. Watch out for that Justin Jefferson situation. That'll be interesting if he wants to be a part of that. Because Kwesi's going for, he's already, I'm sure they're trying to find a way to get into the J.J. McCarthy world. He wants to get that fourth quarterback. But you're going to have to go all the way to.
Feels like, I don't know. Is J.J.
four or
that
five
guy?
To get there.
Is he that guy?
I have no idea. Hard to say.
It's hard to say.
At this, I mean, think of the guesswork of this position.
Yeah.
Didn't Mac Jones win Rookie of the Year? Did he win Rookie of the Year?
He was he was 100% a Pro Bowler.
I think
his
it was Jamar
year.
Chase that year.
But he was a Pro Bowler his rookie year. Yeah. And they went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now.
Feels like it would be Chase.
I think that was like the debate was Chase was really good, but do you give it to the quarterback?
So he just made the Pro Bowl that year, was not the Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
His stats, his rookie year. 68% completions, 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks, quarterback rating 92.5. He was second in the Rookie of the Year voting behind Jamar Chase. His completion percentage has gone down every year. His yards have gone down every year. His touchdowns have gone down every year. And his touchdown-to-interception ratio has gotten worse every year.
Jeez.
And his yards per attempt has gone down every year. His air yards per attempt has gone down every year. His yards per completion has gone down every year. His yards per game has gone down every year. His rating has gone down every year. His QBR has gone down every year.
So is that, do you think the stability around him when McDaniels was there plays what big a role in that? Or was there some hitch in his giddy up?
And they also picked up on? Who are the weapons?
Well, they have none. But they never, the whole run, he didn't have weapons. They didn't really
but then,
weapons.
Like, even this last year, they swap out Jacoby Myers for Juju Smith-Schuster on this basically the same contract. And what did Juju Smith-Schuster do?
Nothing. Well, they had – boy, he fell off a cliff. The so McDaniel was only there his rookie year because then it was the Patricia nonsense.
Oh, my God.
Last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had three coordinators, Mac Jones did. And I'm not a Mac Jones guy.
No.
I'm just saying, like, that it's so hard at that position to try to say this guy is going to hit.
Like, here's the thing. Didn't they give up a six-round pick for Mac Jones?
Jacksonville did, yeah. Right?
I just don't understand. I'm having a real hard time with this one. This was one, like, Justin Fields, everything that I just said that got worse every year got better every year.
Correct, yeah.
And he's a dynamic runner.
Right. 1,000-yard rusher.
It's very
I don't
odd.
Know. It's strange. Couple other things around the sports world. The Buckeyes made it official. Jake Diebler will be the full-time head coach down in Columbus. So that got done. Press conference today at 1 o'clock down there.
Feels underwhelming to me, just to me. I would have expected a bigger name.
I think there's a couple factors that led to it. Number one, the team performed very well when he was a coach. It's a very short stint. They had a victory over number one Purdue, among others, during that stretch when he was the head coach. But I think a couple other things. One, I'm not sure what the other viable options were out there. Guys I mentioned on the show here were Sean Miller. My sense was is that there was a pushback Miller because of what happened at Arizona.
Yeah, that's all legal now.
It is all legal now. But there was a little bit of a pushback there. Also don't know what it would have taken to get Sean Miller financially. Like if they, after all they've spent on football, would they want to do all of that again? So I think that's part of it. The other guy I mentioned was Dusty May at FAU. His team is the 8 seed right now. They were in the Final Four a year ago. Maybe that's the way that that happened. And then the other factor of this is Jake's an Ohioan, his family, legendary Ohio family, and he is really well-received by the high school coaches and the AAU coaches in Ohio. And you are headed for, in the next couple of years, historic high school basketball talent coming out of this state. So the Darren Peterson kid who was at CVCA out of Akron, he's now down at Huntington Prep in West Virginia. He's the best high school basketball player I've ever seen play in person. Now, I didn't see LeBron play in person, but he's better than anybody else I've ever seen. I've talked to other people who evaluate, and they feel that way, that he's the best high school player in the state of Ohio since LeBron James.
Wow.
He's unbelievable. So you got him, Sonny's kid at Garfield Heights. They lost. Toledo beat him at the buzzer.
My buddy. Anthony Stacy's team.
Oh, Anthony coaches Whitmer?
Yeah.
Okay. So Whitmer beats him at the buzzer.
Shout out, Stacy.
But Sonny's kid is a stud. Marcus, I think. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, so we were off. Gibby, you were telling the Freeman kid story. So not only the kid at Akron, so he's in his fifth year. So this was his – if he was going to go, it would have had to have been this year.
Yeah.
And they end up averaging 18.5 a game.
Every team – he had over 20 double-doubles, if I'm correct, this year.
He's a Cleveland kid, huh?
Yeah. I think his mom is a cop.
That's awesome.
But he worked his way up. But he had a chance to go to – any one of the Big Ten programs, anywhere in the country, people, because of this whole transfer portal,
yeah.
Just said, no, none of you wanted me. Like,
yeah.
Akron took a shot on me, gave me a walk-on spot. I worked my way up. I want to win here. And he did so. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Marshawn agrees with me. He says, one lie about Darren Peterson, the best in the state and the best since LeBron. I'd have to add Terry Rozier as well.
Ooh.
Ooh, scary Terry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's that kid's unbelievable.
Where's he going?
Whatever he wants. but he's going into his senior year, so he was going to take a visit. His first visit was going to be Ohio State when Holtman was there, and then that went away when they fired Holtman. But now that Diebler's there, they're hopeful that he can be the first visit as well. But he was one of the first high school basketball players to get a shoe deal, so he has like a 7-figure deal with Adidas, and that's why he left CVCA to go to Huntington Prep, because in Ohio you can't make NIL. Ohio high school athletes can't make NIL.
Why?
I have no idea. Late with the times, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue, like, when people say, well, they shouldn't make anything, their kids or whatever, I'm like, you are aware that there are kids on YouTube who are killing it.
Making millions.
Playing video games and screwing around.
On Twitch, yeah.
And now these kids can't, because their skill is one that's controlled versus one that, I don't understand, it just makes no sense. Once that's out there and you can make whatever your name, image, and likeness allows for you to be made, why couldn't you make it?
Yeah.
Without wrecking eligibility. Amateurism's dead, man. It's over.
It's over.
At every level. And I'm talking, you go to third grade travel hoops, man. Amateurism's done. It's done.
So absolutely.
It's over. Forget it.
And that's okay.
Move on.
Yeah. It's okay just accepting it and moving on. Agreed.
Yeah. And then make the best out of what is there. Did you guys watch the bracket reveal? I know Uno did. Did you watch it at all?
I didn't watch Selection Sunday.
Were you curious for like Selection Sunday? Like,
I just want to see where Arizona went. They're two in the West.
Two in the West, yeah. Gibby, did you watch live?
I did.
Were you St. Pattying?
I was St. Pattying and watching.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, two for one.
It was one of my favorite things as a kid.
Same.
The brackets popping out and going like, all right, where are we? What are my matchups?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's still –
I used to love that.
I do. And I last couple of weeks I've watched more college basketball, probably because Peyton and I went down to the Kentucky game, and so that got me kind of fired up a little bit to watch it. So I watched quite a bit of the championship week stuff, and I'll be locked in this week. I mean, we'll be on flights, but I'll be locked in the best I can. But I do find the magic of player name of a team, another name of a team, playing
in.
It out. Like, there's something cool to that.
Well, so, and I like this tweet, and I retweeted it last night, and it's gotten actually a lot of traction. Richard Deitch, media writer. This will seem foreign to 20-somethings, but once upon a time, one of the greatest things ever was buying the USA Today on the Monday after the brackets came out to get all capsules on every team. One of the great newspaper editions ever.
No, I remember that vividly.
Yes.
We would get the high school library would get the newspapers, and they'd put them on those sticks.
Yep.
You remember those sticks you'd get? And they would put them on there, and I would scour over that, like the
breakdown
of it all.
That's how you made your picks.
Yep. And that's how you made it, because you weren't – I mean, you watched the championship week, but that was kind of it. No, it's amazing, and it's I hope they don't screw it up by – I've seen a lot of the Power 5 coaches complain about teams not in. Dude, there's 68 teams in.
Well, that's the thing.
Chill out.
The first four is that's – what do you think about the first four?
I think it's stupid.
It's 60
– Well, here's the deal. Dayton does a really good job. So I've been over there. I've covered that thing. Montana State's actually playing in it this year. They play Grambling.
Yep.
But the – it's not the NCAA tournament. The experience of being one of those teams that's playing in Dayton is not the same as the experience of a team going to Pittsburgh to play in round one of the regional.
So all of those games are played in Dayton?
Yeah. All of those playing games.
The first four
all played in Dayton. So the other thing that's stupid is they go two 16s
and
play
two
each
10s.
Other. The 16s should be in. So if you're going to have teams play in, have two 10s play, two 10s play, two 11s play, two 11s play. Like, don't make two 16s play.
They earned the right.
They won their tournament.
In.
Like, put those guys in.
If you won your tournament,
hold on a second.
You shouldn't have to be in a play-in game.
No, because it's truly not teams on the bubble playing their way in, and that's what it should be.
Yes.
It should be teams 60 through 68. Those teams should play each other to be the final 64.
Yes.
Don't take Grambling, who's never played an NCAA tournament in their history. Now they got to beat Montana State, who's played in the last two tournaments out of the Big Sky Conference. They're playing hot. They got to play them in Dayton for the right to be the one to go play a one seed.
That's
Purdue,
ridiculous.
Well, that's ridiculous.
If you win your tournament, you're in the big dance.
No,
this is not
sucks.
The big dance. This
no.
first four. This is
don't act like it is.
It's the precursor.
It's no, so they should have done it the other way. But the Power Five, well now Power Four conferences. They don't want to deal with that because they want more of their people in.
Yeah, but I like the matchups. You have, what is it, Virginia, Colorado State, and then Colorado.
So it's Virginia, Colorado State. It's Boise, Colorado.
Yeah, those good.
So take those, and then take the four teams who missed
and
have
first
four
teams
the 11s. And have
Duquesne,
those.
Duquesne, NC yes. State.
Well, Duquesne's an
Duquesne's,
auto.
No, so Oregon.
NC State's an auto, too. So Oregon. No, Oregon won their league. So
New Mexico.
New Mexico won their league.
So not the 11s. Maybe
so
a nine.
Probably
be the
a nine or
Northwestern.
Because of, it'd be
yes,
the 10
be
because of the bid Steelers this
the
year.
Nines are Northwestern, Michigan State.
Yep.
TCU.
Yep.
And Texas A&M.
Yep. Who are the other, so who are the 10s then?
The 10s that are playing, you've got Boise, Colorado, Virginia, Colorado State,
Nevada.
And then the other ones you have Nevada.
So they should play in.
Drake.
And Drake won their league.
Drake
so
won their
too.
League.
It's weird yeah. with all the bid Steelers this year.
Yeah.
It's hard to do the play in.
Yeah.
No, I think if you win your conference tournament, you're in the 64.
You're in. It's got to be.
Like
no,
look at how they this
doing.
Is what a bracket looks like. This is the bracket. This is the first four. You deserve to be.
Yes.
This is, if you win
the
your
example
league,
I just gave you with Grambling is why it sucks.
Yep.
Because they will it is entirely different to fly to Dayton today because they found out last night. They hop on a plane. They fly to Dayton today. They play tomorrow night or Wednesday night, one of the two. You're going to play. And then if you're done, if they're done, they're out. And that's not an NCAA tournament experience.
Luckily
and Dayton
for
does
them,
a good job.
If well, they win, they go to Indianapolis.
But even if you win,
right, but
it's not an NCAA tournament experience because you got to get on a plane right
no,
away.
No, you're right.
You got to jet to wherever you play.
They'll drive over to Indy. Yeah. But, yeah, no, they're not getting, like, the pomp and circumstance that comes with the tournament.
It's outrageous.
Sucks.
They don't even have a chance to be in the one shining moment montage.
No. Definitely not that. No, it stinks. Yeah, they do that part wrong, among many other things. All right. I think we've done it.
We have.
The next level is coming up next. We appreciate you listening, everybody. Thanks for listening. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.